Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Okay, so today I will just go straight into my message, and while I'm doing that, can you just prepare your Bibles? We're not going to have PowerPoint slides today, but we're going to refer to a few different verses. So just prepare your Bibles, and as you are doing that, I thought I'd just share with you about this very interesting church that I visited when I was in Korea a month back. Right, so this is a really, really huge church. Now, basically, it is like 5 basement levels down, and they have about 8 to 9 levels upwards. So it's huge, right? It's even larger than Star Vista, alright? For those of you who know New Creation is there, it's like way bigger than our church. And when I went, it's like every floor that you go to, there is an escalator. So it's very huge. And the thing is that it's also located in a prime land. Those of you who know where's Gangnam, right? You know, the very prestigious place in Korea that Sai sang about, right? So it's very conveniently located, very near Gangnam. And basically it's like they own the subway station. When you come out of the exit, then the church is there already. So the church is built above that, you know, subway station itself. Come up, it was raining that day I went, but I didn't get caught in the rain. So that's how big the building was. Then when I went into the church service, I was even more amazed because I went in and I realized that it's both a traditional and a modern service. So on top of their full worship, the modern band like what we have, right, they also have a team dedicated to play their hymns, right? So that includes like someone playing the organ. And on top of that, they have about an 80-strong choir. And on top of that, they have a full orchestra, right, with a conductor as well. So can you imagine, on that day, just to get the church running, the number of people involved is probably larger than the number of people that we have here. That's how big the scale is. And on top of that, real time, right, there are services, they have people translating it into English and Chinese. So people like me can just go there and, you know, be part of the service. So when you look at it, it's a tremendously huge church. And this is just one of the few churches in Korea which is like that. Now when I, strangely, after I left the service, right, the thing that came to my mind was Matthew 24. Now for those of you who are familiar, right, Jesus was actually at the temple that the Israelites had built for God. And it's a very magnificent temple. And on that, at a place where the disciples were directing Jesus' attention to, right, this temple, they were so amazed, like how I was amazed, right? So when they told them, when told Jesus about the temple, Jesus actually wasn't impressed at all. So Jesus basically said to them, you know what, one day this temple will be gone. And then true enough, right, by AD 70, the temple was gone, right? So I'm not, okay, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything bad about mega churches, right? I love the church that I went to in Korea. But when I went out of the church, I was just reminded of what Jesus said. And as I began to reflect about that more and more, I realized that, you know, actually at the end of the day, many things that we do in church is really very peripheral, right? The new toilets we have, very nice toilets, is also very peripheral, right? But what truly counts is something far deeper, right? In fact, if you read, let me just read for you from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Right, it says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me, and where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem. All right, this is the important part. It says, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Right, so what God is really interested in, it's the kind of people that we are, right? And that is why as a church, we, as a youth ministry, our vision statement is being the kind of people God wants us to be, right? So recognize that at the end of the day, right, we thank God for all the things that we have in our youth ministry and everything that goes on as part of it. But the thing is, we recognize that if you go through that 10 years of youth ministry, and at the end of the day, there's no change in your heart, then whatever we have done is just a waste of time, right? So that's why I see our vision is so important. It's a very simple vision statement. Sometimes we might even think that it's stating the obvious, but The obvious is not so obvious, right? Right. So in the church, right, in the, this kind of structure, sometimes we can even forget that. So it's important for us to remember that at the end of the day, what God really wants, right, what He's really interested about is who we are. Right. So for tonight, tonight is one of those nights that I'm just going to revisit our vision statement. And to do that, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25. And this is where I ask for you to turn to your Bible. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. And I know that, you know, our vision statement is actually a very broad thing, right? It addresses many different aspects of our lives. So I'm not able to, you know, cover all the aspects, but at least for this season, I want to really talk about this. Right, so turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Am I going too fast? No, right? Only one person saying no, the rest. Are you alive or not? Okay, now let me just hear a louder yes. Are you there? Alright, that's good. Alright, Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read to you all the way from verse 31. Alright, this is actually one of the parables that Jesus told the disciples after, you know, he wasn't impressed about the temple. Alright, and this is what it says. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right, and all the goats on His left. So for those of you who are sitting on your, on my right, good for you, right? Okay, I'm just kidding. Alright, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers, you did it for me. Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He replied, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now there's something very interesting about this passage, this parable. It's that Jesus is talking about Christians, right? So this parable is talking about Christians, right? He doesn't make any mention about non-Christians. So you know our theology, right? Our theology is that Christians go to where? Heaven, and non-Christians go to hell. But it's interesting, right? In this passage, Jesus is talking about eternal punishment and eternal life. But he's talking about Christians, or at least self-professing Christians. Now the most telling part, right, I think you can look at is verse 44, where the goats answered. And what did they say? They say, Lord. Right, we know non-Christians wouldn't just call Jesus Lord for no reason. So we can infer very clearly that Jesus is talking about Christians. So on that day, when Jesus comes to judge, right, among the goats, there will be Christians. So what was Jesus trying to teach? Right? Was he trying to teach about karma? Right? Do some good works and then you go to heaven? Right? No, right? We still need to believe in Jesus to be saved. I don't think there's anything wrong with our theology. But what I think went wrong is this, and this is what we are trying to, you know, find out, right? Jesus didn't exactly say what was wrong, but what I think went wrong, okay, is this. Right? Let's look back at verse 44. right? And we will just try to figure out what exactly went wrong for the goats, right? So if you look at verse 44, it says, they, referring to sheep, the goats, will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? Now, there are two possible ways of interpreting verse 44, right? Number one, you can say that these goats, they were basically lying, right? They really see Jesus hungry and so on, but didn't do anything for him. Or you can say, number two, is that they really didn't see Jesus hungry at all. Right? We really didn't see. They sincerely didn't see. Now, which one do you think it is? Number one, lying? Or number two, they didn't see? Which one? Number one or two? One? Two? How many of you say one? How many of you say two? Okay, this is also one of those I don't know kind of thing, right? But I think it is likely to be number two. Okay, let me just offer you two reasons why. Right, first of all, if you look at, if you compare, right, with verse 37, you see that the sheep actually replied in a very similar tone. Right, and the good thing is that in the Bible, many times God helps us to understand the Bible by putting two groups of people, right, for us to compare and contrast. So you see that actually, in the Bible, right, verse 37, the sheep also respond with that kind of surprise that the goats appear to have, alright? That's the first reason. And the second reason is this, that if we put ourselves in the shoes of the goats, think about it, most of us, we also haven't seen Jesus before, right? And let alone see Jesus, right, in a needy situation. Right, how many of you actually see Jesus before? Right, I also never see Jesus before. So I think it is very likely that the goats, in all sincerity, they were asking Jesus, did you even come, right, to us? Did we even have the chance, right, to feed you or not? Right, so what exactly went wrong? Alright, I think this is what went wrong. What went wrong is this, that is that most of the goats, they actually grew up in the church. Most likely they went to a church with a church building, a church with, a buffet of church programs, a church that likely to have a group of church leaders appointed, sometimes paid, sometimes arrowed. I see some leaders nodding your head. Right? A church that has a certain kind of, environment pretty much like ours. And for some of the churches, they even have kids ministry. You do know that the young of a goat is called a kid, right? You know that? Right, so leaders, please don't call your members kids, alright? And if you ask any of your, you all get that or not? You all get a joke? You don't? Okay, never mind, let's move on. Okay, and if you ask any of the goats how to find Jesus, most of them will tell you to go to church. Why? Because that's also what they do, right? Most of the time to find God. Even though sometimes they forgot about finding Jesus because there is a lot of grass outside the church, just like the one in Margaret Drive. Right, and in fact, if they do not find Jesus in the church, they'll be very disappointed. Why? Because other than the church, many of these goats do not know where else to find Jesus. As such, they mostly see Jesus on Saturdays. And if the church has got a comfortable, auditorium and a soothing environment, and everyone's dressed up very nicely, except for the pastor, like me, right? Then the Jesus they think of is always a Jesus who wears what color? What color does Jesus wear? White. Right? That's the kind of Jesus that the goats can think of. Now turn to your neighbor and say, he's not talking about you. I hope not, lah. Okay, being the kind of people God wants us to be is so key because unfortunately, even, right, in Coos, in every church, even in Coos, we have both the sheep and the goats. And what I mean is that if you primarily see church as just Church of Our Savior, then we really have both sheep and goats in church. But if we begin to see that we are to be the kind of people God wants us to be, that we are to be the church, we are to represent church to different people, then you will see that there is a very key important thing for us to learn from this passage and to think about what it means to give up living as goats and to start to live as the sheep that God wants us to be. All right. So how do we actually practically do that? Now, there's many areas that I can address, like I said at the beginning of my message, but I really want to, in this season, zoom into one particular area. And to do that, let's look at verse 40 again. Right? And in verse 40, it says, "The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" Now, the real Jesus does not always appear in bright, shining lights. The real Jesus is God, He's invisible, and He can choose to appear in many different forms. And in particular, Jesus, God, always chooses to reveal Himself in the most unexpected places. And we see, right, in this passage very clearly, it gives us an indication that Jesus chooses to identify Himself with the needy. Right, both those who need the gospel, as well as those who have practical necessity kind of needs in their life. This is the kind of people, right, that Jesus chose to associate with. And this is where they hang out, is always where Jesus chose to appear. Sometimes, right, in this case, we read that He chose to appear, right, He chose to manifest His presence in their midst, right? So you will find so-called Jesus probably wearing clothes that you will never expect Him to wear. And the unfortunate thing is that the goats, they have chosen to shelter themselves away from this kind of needs, away from this kind of people, right? Whether by circumstance or by choice. Now, the even more unfortunate thing for us is that we grew up in Singapore. It's a very affluent nation, to the extent that it's very easy for us also to not see the needy people in our midst. And on top of that, many of you are born in Christian homes and you grow up in Christian schools. And that makes you even less obvious to the non-Christians around you. Right? So we are definitely by circumstance very sheltered from away, right, from the people that Jesus wants us to meet. And on top of that, we got to ask ourselves, then by choice, do we actually make a choice to go against the circumstance or not? And so that is actually why for the past few weeks we have chosen to be gearing up for GoFest. Not just to go for GoFest, but to think about what it means to walk away from our very sheltered environment, right? And to make a choice to reach out to the needy people. Now, I know that you might be thinking that outreach has been something that we have been talking about all the time, right? And in fact, you know, even in the church, we plan a lot for outreach. So what exactly is new, right? Especially when we say, oh, let's go for GoFest. What exactly is new? Let me tell you, this is what is new. That when we look at outreach, it is true that maybe in the past we have done it, right? We have organized different kinds of programs. We have done it quite a lot. But at the end of the day, is it something that we truly own in our hearts? You know, I'm afraid not, because most of us, right, if there's no, like, kind of, like, you know, program going on, or if there's no one to tell us, hey guys, let's reach out, right, no Christmas musical or whatsoever, then most of us, we actually pay very little attention, alright? You agree with me? Right? We pay very little attention to the people around us, to the needs around us, to the friends around us who do not know Jesus. So there is actually no ownership. But we may go because there's something, right, exciting to go. But that shouldn't be the case. So in the case of GoFest, it's still another event, but at least it is an event that places a high level of ownership on you, right, on you and I, right, that we are to be the ones to own evangelism. We are the ones, right, to be the church. Right? It's no longer about just asking people to come to our church, but we are to be the ones to represent Jesus to people. That is very important. It's really because of the ownership factor, all right? And for us, when we go for something like GoFest, we go out to the streets, you know, we go for the different outreaches that is part of the program, we are able to expose ourselves to the many different kinds of needs that we seldom see on a day-to-day basis. So if you remember, right, when Joseph came, right, to speak a month ago, right, he talked about the homeless people. I'm sure that is something that most of you, right, would have never imagined, that there are so many homeless people in our nation. And I pray, right, that on that day when Jesus finally separates the sheep and the goats, none of us will have to be on the side of the goats and tell Jesus that, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know that there were so many, you know, homeless people. When Joseph was speaking, actually I was just playing with my phone. But I pray that that will not happen. Right? So it's really very important for us to begin to live a life, to choose. Right? I know we are not born perhaps in that kind of environment, but we have to make a conscious choice to go out of our shelter, right? To go out of our comfort zone, to be in places to so-called, it would like to be among, alright, people that will constantly help us to see the needs and to challenge us to go out, alright? And don't wait, right? I repeat again, don't wait, right, to when we have something in church and say we do it, alright? Then you do something about evangelism. Because there will come a day, I believe, that, you know, like what Jesus said to the, you know, disciples, right? The temple, not one stone will be left on another. There will come a day, right, when Church of the Savior, for some reason, will not exist as well. I don't think we'll be like a dynasty, right, lasting for generations. So there will come a time, right, when I will no longer be with you, your leaders will not be with you, and maybe even during your lifetime, for some reason, maybe persecution comes, and our church building is gone. So what happens at that time, right? We stop reaching out to people? No. Right? So begin to understand what it means to embrace this as a lifestyle. Right? And to do that, we really need to think about our vision, right? Being the kind of people God wants us to be. Right? Knowing that at the end of the day, even when we talk about outreach, it's not about how many outreaches you have led or participated, but it's about how much God has even put His love into your hearts, that when you go around, you see people who are in need, something stirs deep within you to want to reach out to them. And if you have no needy people around you, you ask yourself, what am I doing here? Right? And that will stir you to go out of your comfort zone to find needy people. Are you following me? Right. So I just want to maybe start to round up, right, by giving you some practical handles. I know what I'm saying, maybe you'll find that, oh, it's 2 hour reach. So I'm just going to make it something simple, but yet still relevant to all of you. Alright, so tonight if you forget what I say, right, just remember this one thing. One of the practical things you can go about doing after this message is to go and make friends. Everyone say make friends. Right, make friends sounds like very easy, right? You know, if you go on Instagram, you just click, 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 click. Then you have a lot of friends really. Then they will follow you back, right? Because they also want a lot of, you know, people to follow them. I'm not talking about that kind of making friends. I'm talking about something more, much more deeper, right? Something that we can do to walk out of our shelter, right? So I wrote out a different list of things for us to think about, alright? Basically it goes like this. Befriend those who have no friends. Now have you ever tried to befriend those who have no friends before? Right? That's something that we should think about, right? Befriend those who have no friends. Befriend those who are different from you. Befriend those whom you think you can't click with. Befriend non-Christians, especially. If you are clueless about how to befriend others, start in church, but do not stop in church. Befriend all kinds of people. Befriend especially the needy. Befriend others, even if they are not friendly. Befriend even those whom you dislike. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself that you don't want to talk to, you don't want to be, to so-called like, do things when you don't feel like doing it, right? Otherwise, it sounds like, it feels like very hypocritical, right? So if you don't like someone, or you don't feel like talking to someone, you will just prefer not to talk to them. Because if you talk to them, you try to befriend them, you feel a little bit like hypocritical. But you know what? If you know something is the right thing to do, and you don't do it, that is actually what true hypocrisy is. Okay? Just a thought for you. Befriend others even if you think that you don't need friends or that just a few friends, a few close friends are good enough for you. Now the Bible doesn't talk about befriending people out of your personal need. Even though we all be encouraged to meet one another's need. Right? Some of you maybe think that, you know, I just have a few deep friendship is good enough. Right? God wants us to have deep fellowship. The Bible, unfortunately, also don't talk about that kind of deep, right, friendship. It does tell us to confess our sins to one another, for example, right, in James chapter 5, right? It also tells us to, you know, for example, in Hebrews chapter 10, right, to meet regularly. But he never talked about the deep friendship that we sometimes talk about that we have to the exclusion of others. Right? So we need to know very clearly what the Bible wants of us. And if you think that, you know, you don't have a good enough reason to befriend people, let me just say this, alright, blessing people is a good enough reason to befriend them, alright. One thing to bless others is a good enough reason for you to perhaps even strike up a conversation with a stranger. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? That when you are in a place where you're wondering, like, okay, I really just want to stay to myself. I don't want to think about, you know, meeting people. The reason of blessing people is a good enough reason to go forth and reach out to them. Because that's actually what Jesus did for us, okay? Befriend others and overcome barriers if you must. All of us will encounter barriers and we must learn, right, to overcome these barriers. Now I know that for many of you, language is a barrier, right? Because you're only able to speak English. So when we talk about, especially, you know, going out to befriend the poor, the needy, you know, you struggle because you find that you only have English, which is not what the language most of our you know, the people that we are reaching out to are speaking. But I just want to encourage you, alright, see the importance of overcoming even those barriers. Now I know some of us, we are perhaps so smart that we are, you know, able to, you know, score well in our exams, even, right, you know, just bang on them and just drop our, you know, mother tongue, you know, right? I used to think of doing that as well. But we really need to see that if people's lives, their needs and salvation is so important, then there's really nothing that we cannot do in order to invest in them. Right? And as I mentioned before, there's so many needy people, you know, in our nation, there are so many foreigners in our nation, and they all speak, right? A lot of them speak the mother tongue or the dialects that we actually have, right? So if you have a language barrier, it's actually your own language anyway, right? Make it a point to overcome them, right? And since I have a little bit of time, maybe I can just give you some additional incentives, right? For you to master your language so that you can go about to befriend, even others. Right. One of the things that I discovered is that actually it's not a new discovery, but I just realized is that when you look at our mother tongues, right? Chinese, Malay, and Tamil, or maybe some other Indian, you know, dialects, this is a very huge resource that God has actually given to us. Right? China and India are the world's number one and number two population. Indonesia is actually number four. Right, so because of the huge population, it is expected that in years to come, alright, barring all other circumstances, right, their economic growth will be really shoot up. So China will probably overtake the US as the world's largest economy, right? India will overtake Japan as probably the third, and Indonesia, right, which is now like the top 20, could possibly jump from there into the top 10. You know, so if you want, right, to be a businessman, you probably can't run away from learning either of these languages. And in fact, right, a lot of my friends who last time used to hate Chinese, now they are really brushing up, right, in Chinese because of their business. And in addition, alright, this is a special bonus for those of you who like K-pop or anime. Right, you know, Japanese and Korean, 60% of their words are actually borrowed from the Chinese lexicon. So if you really master this Chinese, right, you actually have a good, fairly good chance of learning these two languages as well. So you can see there's really a lot of incentives involved for us to learn the language. And I want to challenge you because I know that more and more, as we begin to reach out to people, as we embark on different kinds of opportunities to reach out, you will face language barrier as one of your number one challenges. But don't let that stop you. Alright, and I just want to end up by saying this. You know, some of you know that I have a ex-schoolmate who is paralyzed. Now, to start off, I do not have the kind of incentives that I just highlighted to you just now. Right, this isn't even a friend that we were close to in school. Right, so forget about language barrier. When he is paralyzed, I talk to him, he cannot even reply me. Right? So that's a big problem for me. Why? Especially for me, is because, you know, I'm a very good listener, but I'm a very bad talker. Right? I'm not like some of you can like talk on forever and ever. Amen. The kind. Right? Even though I can preach like, you know, really very long sermons at times. But I'm just not good at talking. Right? And you know that if you meet someone who's paralyzed, basically if you want to connect with him, you just have to talk to him whether he responds or not. Right? So for me, when I seek to befriend him, I encounter barriers. But because of my conviction that as Christians, it's really not just about, you know, the fanciful things that we do in church. Some more, I'm a pastor, you know, I do a lot of accomplishments. Right? But it's really about our lives. What we can even, on a day-to-day basis, do. Right, to befriend people and be a blessing to people. So I learned how to overcome my barriers. You know, even when I visit him, I don't know what to say. I just say something. All right, just go on. Right, just talk to him. Just to even, right, just touch his hand and just let him know that, hey, there's someone who's here with you. Right, someone who believes in Jesus is here to be your friend. Right, and in the course of time, I also realize that actually there are a lot of many opportunities for us. Right? If you really want to befriend people, even if you have certain areas of lack, there's a lot of room that you can go about to equip yourself. Right? So I've never received like any kind of professional training in helping those with disabilities. But coming June, I'm going to actually volunteer at our Fin Camp, right, which is one of the things that our church is doing to gather those with different kinds of disabilities, right? And some of you guys are going to go there with me as well, right? It's something that I do not because it is like my portfolio, right, as a pastor to do so, but I'm just going there, and I'm also not going there to say that, you know what, all of you, you know, I'm here to help you. Actually, I'm taking a very humble posture to say that I'm here to learn, right? I don't know what it means, right, to you know, work with those, to help those with special needs, but I'm just here, right, to learn, right, from the different volunteers and even to learn from those that I'm trying to care for at the camp itself, so that on a day-to-day basis, when I meet my friends, you know, or I come across anyone else who have this kind of disabilities, that I wouldn't have reasons to tell me that, you know what, you are not equipped enough to reach out to them, to befriend them, but I will be able, right, to befriend them, not just with my heart, but with some kind of practical skills as well. Okay? So I really hope that you will begin to think about what this really means. Because whether you go for GoFest or not, right, I hope that you will still sign up for it. Right, whether you go for that or not, as a church, more and more, right, we're going to place much more emphasis on us going out. We're still going to have maybe once in a while things like our Christmas musical coming up in December. But honestly, right, you probably can tell by the way that I've been leading you that I have really placed very, very little emphasis on this kind of programs, even though they are good. All right, in the past few years, we have really played down the emphasis on this kind of programs. Why? It's because I realized that at the end of the day, they don't bring any kind of change to us. Now tonight, if you remember my sermon, if all you do is tonight, you go and befriend someone, right, or you go back to school, you see someone who never has a friend. Right? We all know there are people like that, right? Nobody want to talk to him or her. I mean, you know that especially if the person do not know Jesus, and this person just don't click with you. But if you choose to get out of your seat, you go up to this person, you take the first move, you say, hi, I'm so and so. Take time to get to know this person. If that is the only thing you do, I would say that actually I've done my job far more than, you know, far better than if I would have done like, you know, like 10, like whatever you call it, concerts or whatever in this church. Because if it's just one person having that one seat of change, that is way much more powerful. And I can really have the assurance, right, that if all of you see the importance of you taking the step out, then I will be very certain that on that day, right, when Jesus has to do that separation, and I can turn and see all of you just meh. Right, see the different ones of you, the faces here, being people who will say, or who Jesus will say that, you know, you guys are the one. It's true. Maybe you didn't see me in person, but you all saw the different kinds of people in your midst, and you're willing to reach out to them. And for this good and faithful servant, come into my kingdom. That's what I long to see. Maybe it feels like a long way to go, right? Eternity. But I'm really envisioning the day that all of us, right? Church of our Savior will be the sheep of God. We'll just be celebrating. And not just among ourselves, but celebrating the different people who through us have also come into the sheep pen of the Lord. You know, when Jesus called Peter, he says, feed my sheep. Right? In John 10, Jesus tells us that he has other sheep who's not in the sheep pen. So we just stand as we end this service. And today we're just going to close our service in a slightly different way. But first of all, right, let's just take a bit of time, right, just to reflect. We're not going to have any music, but just take some time to reflect. Now, I'm not saying this in a condemning tone, but for some of us, maybe we need to ask ourselves, in so many years of being a Christian, have we even stepped out of our shelter? Have you even sought to touch anyone's life? Now, if you haven't, I'm not saying this to condemn you, but it's really time for us to reflect whether the love of God is truly real in our hearts or not. And to ask Jesus, Jesus, would you just come and help me? Because I don't want to come into church and just stay in my own comfortable place anymore. But I want every day of my life for you to speak to me, for you to change my heart, for me to be filled with the love of God. That when I see people, I see Jesus waiting to be revealed in them. And that I will willingly choose to live in such a way that I'll be challenged by you and I'll overcome every barrier there is to be like Jesus to these people. If that's you, you are saying yes to that, you know, just quietly where you are, just ask that you raise your hands. You know, very quickly, I'm just going to pray for you. Saying yes to Jesus, I want to be like that sheep. I don't really, you know, just come to church and, you know, have no change. But I want to see a change in my life. Just raise your hand and tell Jesus, Lord, I want that. I want to be a friend to sinners and tax collectors just like you do. So Father, you see the hands that are raised, you see the different hearts that are represented. You know, I know that even tonight when we walk out of this place, we will still continue to feel the kind of maybe fear in our hearts, the kind of indifference. But help us, Lord, to be who you want us to be. Help us, Lord, not just to come to church to listen to good sermons, but help us to come to this place where we want to be the church. We want to bring the good news of God to people. Whether is it in the form of sharing the gospel or even just offering a piece of bread to the needy or even just offering a handshake, an act of friendship to those who are being outcast. Father, we say yes to that, O God. And today we put aside our inhibitions. We put them at the cross. And knowing it's the place where, when we put these things down, that you also give to us your spirit. And with an extra measure of spirit, that boldness, that wisdom, and even that compassion to love others, Lord. So we thank you, and we just bless all our friends here, and pray that there will be that hope, that we can even look forward to the day that we shall meet with you, as your servants, as your sheep, as your children of God. Thank you, Lord. There's one thing that I would like for us to do tonight, because sometimes you hear a message and then you forget, right? So let's do something very practical. There's something that actually we have done before, maybe about a year back, right? But this is what we're going to do, right? I know that maybe we aren't at a stage that we are like, oh, I really want to go out to touch lives, right? But we take it a step at a time. So we're going to have a bit of practice in church, right? So this is what I want you to do, all right? Find someone that you are comfortable with. Find a partner, all right? Find a partner first, then I'll tell you what's the next thing. Right, I assure you it's going to be something that you will hate me for it, but in years to come, you'll love me for it. Right, everyone, just find a partner. Right, find a partner, someone that you are comfortable with. Right, everyone got a partner already? Who doesn't have a partner yet? Okay, it's okay, we can carry on, because later on we have some way to resolve the problem of anyone of you who do not have a problem. But if you can, please find a partner. Right, most of you have already, right? Okay, and this is what I want you to do. Everyone, just get out of your seats. Just walk out of your seats. Who knows what I'm going to do next? Everyone, so long as you're a human being, your two legs, just walk out of your seats. Right, with or without a partner, right? Everyone, just walk out of your seats. Okay, walk out with your partner, right, if you have one. Okay, come on, the rest. Don't be shy, just walk out. Okay, so while we're walking, walk silently because I'm going to give you the next instruction. Okay, maybe we should do this next few services as well. Okay, now with your partner, go and find another pair that you do not know. I'm sure there's someone you do not know, because even for myself, there are a lot of people who I'm still new to. Right, go and find someone who you do not know. And after you find them, you can just look at me first, alright? Because I know that it can be quite awkward for you to look at someone you have never met before. Right, so this is where also those of you who do not have a partner, maybe you just join in, right, one of the groups. Okay, then how many of you now have your fours ready? You are in your group of fours, just raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand and keep quiet so I can manage those who haven't fired. Okay, maybe I should ask it the other way. How many of you haven't found your fours yet? Just raise your hand so I can help to direct from stage. Okay, EY and Nick. Just the two of you, is it? Okay, another person. Who is just in the past? Nobody, okay? Oh, Grace, Paul. Okay, you can join them, the group over there. EY's group. Okay, you all found your groups of fours ready? If you have just total silence so I can give you the next instruction. Shh. Okay, by the way, this is a very good thing, alright? This is a semblance of what we sometimes do as a church. You know, if I ask you to reach out by yourself, very scary, right? But in church, we always have the opportunities to do outreach, and this is where you realize that you are paired up or grouped up with someone. So actually, it's not that scary after all, okay? So anyway, this is what you're supposed to do in your past, alright? Now, you split up into twos again, right? But this time around, you split up with a person that you do not know. Alright, and after you split up, okay, try to space out. There's a lot of space, alright? Some of you over there, you can just come to the front. Don't worry, there's a lot of space. Okay, just try to spread out once you got your pair that you do not know. And then you look at me, because I know it's very awkward to look at that person. Okay, Ken? Ken? Okay, once you're done, okay, just stay quiet again. Okay, so some of you must be wondering, why so troublesome, this Pastor Peter went all the big round to get us to meet someone we do not know. Might as well, alright, one shot to ask us to find someone we do not know. But actually, you know, it's very awkward, right? So I make it so easy for you. Right? So there's really a lot of ways that we can overcome our barriers. Okay, now finally, I just want you to, you know, pair with this person. I want you to pray, okay? Actually, I just want you all to have a chance to pray, right, for the people of our nation. Right? Pray for those whom God will lay upon your heart. So I don't know exactly whom God will lay upon your heart. It can be for the foreigners. It can be for, you know, the needy people, the homeless people that we heard about, you know, some weeks back. Or it can even be people that you actually know, right, in your own social circle, people who do not know Jesus. Right? If that is the case, right, particularly people whom you know, can just share with the person who we are paired up with. All right, but before you start praying, okay, just introduce yourself to this person. Introduce your name. Introduce your cell group so that it won't be so awkward. Okay? Now, if you are very fine, very hard to start, then the older one start first. Because we are older, right? So we must take the lead. Okay, so just introduce yourself, you know, and if after that you need to, you know, share what is the thing that you are going to pray for, then just, alright, share with them. Right, and within 1 minute, let's quickly just start praying, alright, for the different people in our nation that God is just revealing to you. Amen? Okay, how many of you made a new friend today? Raise up your hand high. Whoa, so many of us! Whoa, just give the Lord a big hand for all the new friends that I made. Now, it's really not difficult, alright, for us as a church to be able to reach out to others. Okay, listen guys. Right? But imagine if all of you don't listen to me, you are the one to get out of your seats. Then it would never have been possible. Right? So I hope that, you know, today we end the service a little bit differently. We try out something new. It will just be etched in your memory that actually you can do it. Okay? Ken? Right? Let me just close in prayer and then we will be dismissed from here. Father, we just want to thank you for this fun time that we have. Just getting to know even people in our church. There are really so many wonderful people in this church. You know, so many wonderful sheep. And we just pray that, Lord, you will just continue to let your word grow deep in our hearts so that when we go forth from here, that we can be a blessing. And we also want collectively just to pray for our nation. Father, we especially remember that in the weeks to come, we're going to host so many different nations in our country through the SEA Games, God. And we just want to pray for your presence to be so real in us and through us so that many more people who have a chance to recite to be in this nation, we'll get to know about your word, about your gospel, God. So we thank you, Lord, and just pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's sheep say,
yeah.